federal parliament is sitting today for the final time this year, with the government's environmental reforms hanging in the balance. Both the Greens and Coalition have been offered concessions to vote for the bill, but both maintain it needs work. Andrew Bragg is the Shadow Minister for Productivity and Deregulation and joins me now. Andrew Bragg, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Sally.
What's the latest? Has the Coalition missed its opportunity to make a deal with the government here?
Well, the Shadow Minister, Angie Bell, is still in negotiations with the Minister, and that's something that's ongoing, I understand.
What's the state of play right now, as far as you understand?
Well, the Coalition wants to try and support more investment in Australia, whether that be through more housing approvals or more energy approvals. And so we understand that this is a productivity drag on the overall economy, and that's why we have been negotiating in good faith with the government.
Is the Coalition willing to make a deal with the government this week?
Well, of course, but I mean, the Shadow Minister, Angie Bell, has a list of important factors that need to be addressed in order to secure Coalition support, and those negotiations have been lengthy, I understand, and are ongoing.
Yesterday we heard from the CEO of the Association of Mining and Exploration Companies, who was urging the Coalition to make a deal this week in preference to the Greens and not to let this spill into the new year. Other business groups have made similar calls seeking certainty. Why has the Coalition been talking about spilling this into next year rather than heeding those calls from business to get it done now?
Well, we understand this is a drag on productivity. We understand it's holding back investment. We understand that the laws need to be fixed, and so that's why we've been negotiating. But, I mean, we can't give blank checks, and we can't create a situation where we end up with more bureaucracy and more red tape and more green tape. And the fact that the minister hadn't provided the necessary amendments to the opposition earlier this week just shows that I don't think the government's even ready to pass these bills.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, the Shadow Minister has been engaging in good faith with the government about a range of factors in the EPBC proposal and the amendments that are necessary to secure our support hadn't been supplied earlier this week. So, I mean, I'm not sure they're fair dinkum about this.
Are you questioning whether they've been negotiating in good faith with the Coalition?
Well, no. I mean, I'm not here to impugn people's motives. I'm sure everyone's trying to do the right thing. My point is that if you don't give people the actual detailed amendments, how on earth could you sign up to something?
What will it mean for the Coalition if a deal is done with the Greens?
The government likes to legislate in a way which gives it lots of breathing space to make regulations through subordinate arrangements, and that's very risky. I mean, even just in relation to the online safety stuff, I mean, it's the Parliament didn't actually vote to take out YouTube. The Parliament voted on social media. So the detail really matters. And I think the government, if they really want to pass these changes, then they need to present all the details on their amendments ASAP.
You're also the Shadow Housing Minister. A new report from Cotality shows housing affordability has never been worse in Australia, where the share of income needed to rent has also hit a high. What do you believe is the most urgent aspect of the housing crisis to address right now?
Well, the only way to solve the housing crisis is to build, and the government has wasted $60 billion to build fewer houses than it had inherited. The last government was supplying 200,000 houses a year on average. Now we're down to 170,000 houses a year on average. So the scoreboard for the government is horrendous. They have failed on supply, and now they have these demand-side gimmicks, like the 5% deposit scheme, which is uncapped and not means-tested, Help to Buy and a range of other gimmicks, which are just heating up the market and making it worse for younger people. I mean, you couldn't have cooked up a worse set of policies than these guys have done on housing. It's been an absolute nightmare.
To be fair, your housing policy was a $5 billion infrastructure fund rather than getting directly involved.
But, I mean, getting directly involved, I mean, why would Canberra be actually physically building houses? I mean, what we've seen with the $10 billion housing fund has been $10 billion bucks, 2 years, and a handful of houses, many of which they've actually purchased from people who actually could have lived in them and owned them themselves. So I'm not sure it's always the case that Canberra needs to be doing things directly. I mean, maybe we would be better off working with the states to get the houses built. I mean, we've been here before with kind of pink bats and other things when Labor has tried to do...
But the Coalition was critical of the government in refurbishing existing properties rather than building homes as promised. So are you now saying that the government building homes is not the answer?
Of course. I mean, this Housing Future Fund has been an absolute boondoggle. It's been one of the biggest failures of public administration in my lifetime. It is beset with governance problems, performance problems. It can't build. It's buying houses. I mean, you couldn't make it up. So we wouldn't have that fund, right? We would work with the states to get social and affordable houses built with the states, and we'd focus on their main game, which is to get private sector houses built. I mean, as I said, we've gone from 200,000 houses a year on average down to 170,000 houses a year on average. So we're heading in the wrong direction.
So the federal government shouldn't be involved in bricks and mortar?
Well, I mean, why would the national government be physically building houses itself? I mean, it's just, it's insane.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is the Shadow Minister for Productivity and Deregulation and Housing, Andrew Bragg. Do you believe that tax concessions for property investors are contributing to housing unaffordability?
Look, all the economists show that at the margins, it's very marginal. I mean, the main game here is supply. I mean, you know, you're not going to solve housing with rinky-dink solutions, demand-side measures, cutting migration. I mean, none of these things are going to make a material difference. You've got to build your way out of this crisis.
Immigration. Opposition leader Susan Lee has signalled that immigration is the next policy up for review by the Coalition. The Shadow Home Affairs Minister, Jano Dunium, says housing construction numbers should be considered when determining a migration intake number. Do you agree?
Well, look, the idea that you're going to blame migrants for the housing crisis is economically and morally wrong, and that is not going to be our policy. It might be the policy of some fringe parties, people who never have to solve any of these problems. But if you cut migration to zero, you'd still have a whopping housing crisis. So the thing about migration and housing is it is one element on the demand side. It is one input. The most relevant factor here is actually the fact that we've brought in so many people over the last few years, and we haven't brought in enough people who can actually build houses. So last year, I think we brought in 4,000 tradies, and what we need to be doing is bringing in about 80,000 tradies.
So you disagree with those statements from John O'Dunian?
What's the statement exactly, sorry?
He's saying that housing construction numbers should be considered when determining a migration intake number.
Well, as I said, it is one input. One input. It is not the way to solve the housing crisis.
Should it be considered?
Of course, it is one input.
How closely are you working with your colleagues on this?
Very closely. I talk to my colleagues all the time.
Just finally, the Industry Minister, Tim Ayres, has promised a national artificial intelligence plan by the end of this year, talking about a significant opportunity to boost productivity. What are you hoping to see in that plan?
Well, I hope he doesn't pursue Ed Husic's idea to have an AI Act. That would be the best way to send Australia to the Stone Age. I think we need to be very light touch here. I mean, this is a government which has overly regulated the economy. I mean, you know, whether it's the YouTube ban or the 5,000 new regulations, we've got to be very careful we don't regulate ourselves into oblivion here. I don't see any case for any bespoke AI regulation at this juncture. I think the bigger question is, how do we deal ourselves into the broader opportunity of AI and semiconductors and those sort of things?
Andrew Bragg, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Ali.